This is October 27th, 2023. My name is Renee Duby, and we are at MacKillop Library, and I am joined here today with Sister Mary Pat Murphy. All right. So our first question is, where are you originally from?
I'm originally from Gloucester, Massachusetts.
I'm from Massachusetts, too.
There really?
There you go. I'm from Leominster. So, no different kidding. Area, but yeah.
I have roots in that area.
Nice.
Fitchburg.
Fitchburg is right next to Leominster, yeah.
And Lunenburg.
Oh, nice, yeah. I'm there all the time. Awesome.
Coincidental.
There we go. Did you always want to become a Sister of Mercy?
That's a tough question. Consciously, probably not. Subconsciously, I think it was always something, starting probably in the early teens. I was in school with Sisters of Mercy, elementary through high school.
Mm-hmm.
Naturally, they had some sort of an influence on me.
Yeah.
I think it wasn't until, and this is jumping ahead a bit, but it wasn't until I came to Salve as a student in 1956 that I really made a decision that I would become a Sister of Mercy.
So you came into Salve as just a student, just like everyone else?
Right.
How did you find out about Salve?
I collected catalogs from as many Catholic colleges in the New England area as existed at that time. And Salve won, sight unseen. I didn't see the place until I came here as a freshman. There were no visiting days, no student applicant days. It was what you see in the book is what you get. Very different.
Yeah.
Very different. So I spent 2 years here, and originally I was in the class of 1960.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went to nun school for 3 years, and the fourth year I came back to finish up my degree. I had done some additional study during the 3 years I was absent, so I was able to finish up in 1 year. And at that point, I was in the class of 62. So if you see the number at times, you might see 60, you might see 62. I think for the most part, it's 62.
So what did you study when you were here?
I majored in sociology and minored in education.
Very nice. Were you involved in any clubs or activities?
I don't remember that there were a lot of clubs at the time. Probably student government was the most active at that point. Basketball team here and there, but nothing like you have today.
Mm-hmm. Were there any courses or professors that had an impact on you?
At that point in time, 99% of the faculty were Sisters of Mercy. So collectively, they all had an effect on me, convincing me that I should enter as a Rhode Island, Southeastern Massachusetts Sister of Mercy, as opposed to New Hampshire, where the sisters I had in school were headquartered. Individually, yes, there were a few sisters who had more than the normal impact.
And that school that you were at for 3 years, when you were the nun school, you said, where was that? What was it called?
It was Mount St. Rita Novitiate in Cumberland, Rhode Island.
Okay. And what are some of the things that they teach you there?
Well, basically, they try to teach us how to be a nun, which which was a tall order.
Mm-hmm.
We're still learning after all these years. It was divided into a three-year program. The first year, the young girls who entered were known as postulants.
Mm-hmm.
Then the second year, they were known as canonical novices, which meant they couldn't do anything which was considered, I guess, non-religious. It was heavily focused on theology, the customs and traditions of the community. And then the third year was known as the senior novice year, where it was there was a heavy emphasis on making a decision as to whether or not you were going to remain and take what we call first vows. They would be taken at the end of that third year.
Mm-hmm.
And if there were those who chose not to, they left whenever they wanted to, but they were not processed for taking vows. And from there, we went on to live in East Providence at what we called a juniorate. And from the juniorate, a good number of us came every day to Salve to finish studying. So the basic formation as sisters,
mm-hmm,
was held during the 3 years. And it was commonly called a novitiate program.
Mm-hmm.
None school.
All right. And then what did you do after you graduated from Salve?
When I graduated, I taught school in two parish schools in the Diocese of Providence, ranging from grade 3 to grade 9.
It's a big difference.
A little, mm-hmm, stretch.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. But we did it.
What was that like? Did you enjoy it?
It was a new experience. I started out in the third grade, teaching third grade in a parish school. I don't think I had been in a third grade since I was there as a student myself. So it was a learning experience all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a learning experience all the way through to the last year. I actually had made up my mind that I was going to ask to come out of school because I didn't feel that I was doing justice to what the students deserved.
Mm-hmm.
So I came out of school. And then I taught for 6 years. Then I was working in the education office for the Diocese of Providence, doing administrative work. And that lasted for 18 years. Then I became the treasurer, director of finance for the Sisters of Mercy in Cumberland. And that lasted for 22 years.
So what did that role entail? Seems like a big title.
Well, it was... I had the responsibility of the financial well-being of the community, which at that time probably numbered between 800 and 1,000 members.
Wow.
In Rhode Island and southeastern Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, naturally, I had a staff that did the work. I watched from the sideline, but we were able to pull it together. And they were good years.
So when did you become a Board of Trustees member?
In 1986.
And how did you find yourself in that position? How did you end up being a part of the board?
At that time, the corporation for the university and the Board of Trustees came under the direct was among the direct responsibilities of the leadership group for the Sisters of Mercy. So in 1985, the leadership group appointed me to be a member of the corporation, and with the understanding that the following year, 1986, I would also become a member of the Board of Trustees. That was a very that arrangement was very different, but it fit at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Over the years, the process and the structure and so forth, they have changed so that the population of the Board of Trustees is a responsibility of the board itself.
Mm-hmm.
And as well as the corporation, but there are specific responsibilities that are held by the National Office of the Sisters of Mercy in Silver Spring, Maryland, and they have sponsorship control over the university. And you see a lot around campus about the Sisters of Mercy,
mm-hmm.
the critical concerns.
Mm-hmm.
You have Catherine McCauley watching over everybody over at McCauley. And she was the founder, as you probably know, in Ireland. So everything that we do emanates from what she set down as the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very happy to continue it.
It's very nice to be able to come to a school that has such strong values. Yeah, I look at some of my friends' schools and I feel very grateful to be here. Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. What were some of your responsibilities as a board member?
Well, obviously the board is responsible for the operation of the university,
mm-hmm.
through the president and the president's team and faculty, staff, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
We meet 3 times a year. Used to be 4, it's down to 3. And every board member is expected to serve on at least one committee.
Mm-hmm.
And to stay in tune with what's going on here, giving advice and assistance wherever it's needed, but in good times and bad times.
Mm-hmm.
I think right through the years, all of the board members have had a spirit of dedication and commitment to Salve.
Mm-hmm.
Having been here as students or having their children come here,
mm-hmm.
strong alumni, I guess once you get here, it kind of sticks.
Yeah, definitely does.
Yeah.
So what presidents did you serve under?
I started under Sister Lucille McKillop,
mm-hmm.
Sister Therese, Sister Jane, and Kelly.
Was there a big difference between your responsibilities or conversations or just the direction of the university based on who was the president at the time to differ?
Yes, it did. And I think it's natural, normal for it to differ,
mm-hmm.
because we were coming from different times, different society, different needs. Everything is different. It's an evolutionary process.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly what is going on here now probably wouldn't have worked 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is changing, and rightly so. So I think Salve has changed to meet the needs of the times under the guidance of the 4 presidents.
So you were involved in acquiring the Lafarge windows that are now in the chapel. So how did Salve hear about the windows?
I would say that Sister Trace did the heavy lifting for the windows. How she originally heard about them, I'm really not sure. To flesh this all out, you might want to just have a conversation with her. But I do know that the windows were originally designed for a private home here in Newport. And it was a home of two women. I'm not sure either one of them were married, but that's not important. They were two sisters who lived together down on K Street. And they had John Lafarge design and get the windows installed in their home, which had a private chapel, which was very unusual at that time. That home was taken down in, I believe it's 1931. And the Bishop of Fall River purchased the windows because he wanted them installed in St. Patrick's Convent in Fall River. And that convent is where Sisters of Mercy at the time lived. So, not too clear on that, maybe in the early 2000s. I knew that the convent was coming down. But prior to that, there was interest, there was local interest in addition to Sister Trace. There was local interest by Bill Varica of Varica Arts down on Bellevue Avenue in the windows. So I was instrumental in arranging for Bill to visit St. Patrick's Convent in Fall River and to see what we were talking about, to expand his information base as far as the windows were concerned. So that when the convent itself was taken down, and I think that was 2004, Sister Trace and Bill wanted to be sure that, if possible, the windows were salvaged and came back to Salve. And my recollection is that there were some trustees, if not all trustees, trustees and friends of Salve, who funded the transfer of the windows to the university. And Sister Trace made sure that they were transported here and they were stored here while the chapel was being built. But when she was working with the architect to design the chapel, she knew then that it was with the windows in mind to put them in. And it's just a lovely result.
Are you happy with how they look?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, they're very beautiful.
They are, they attract many tourists, I think, to the chapel. But she could certainly give you more details.
So how do you think Salve has changed since you were a student in terms of like both the physical sense and just the values of the students and faculty?
Obviously, it's a significant change. We went from almost total Mercy faculty down to maybe two or three today, very few. The physical plant, when I started here, we had Ochre Court. The Antone Center was a dorm, so that was known as Mercy Hall. We had Moore Hall, and we had just acquired Macaulay. And that was it. Now, We have many, many more buildings of different types, and we are expert, I would say, at reconfiguring and preserving the mansions around on campus, and making them functional for a university purpose.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about the progress that Salve's made? Are you happy with it over the years?
It's magnificent. Magnificent. And I would say Dr. Armstrong is certainly positioning it for unimagined greatness in the future. Everything is in timing, and as the presidents came and went, they made their contribution, and she's building on the foundation that they have all made. I often wonder how the sisters who came here in 1947 would react to what they would see if they were able to come back.
It's amazing.
It would be beyond their wildest dreams. Just like we can't imagine what it's going to be like 25 years or 50 years from now. The first president that I knew, Mother Mary Hilda, was visionary and responsible for the beginning of the university. She had the foresight to make sure that Salve was officially legally incorporated in 1934. And from 1934 to 1947, she and her colleagues searched for a location, and they were ready when this became available. And it was one building, it was Ochre Court. So it's an inspiring story. It can be done, and it was done.
Mm-hmm. Who knows where it's gonna go?
We're set in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's all the questions I have. Is there anything that you wanted to talk about that maybe we didn't? Expand upon anything?
There are so many things that we could talk about. But I just remain totally impressed with where Salve is now and where it has come from.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that there are some similar problems. When I was here, we didn't think twice about what we were eating or what was being served in the cafeteria. You probably can't even imagine that the cafeteria was in the bottom level of Ochre Court.
Wow.
One room where the whole student body fit. And one meal for everybody. There was a line that you went through and you got what they put on the plate, and that was it. If now looking at Miley Dining Hall, it's like another planet by comparison. But it's all good.
Yeah.
It fits the times that we're in. And that cafeteria served for many, many years as the place where people were nourished.
Yeah.
It was good for the time.
All right. Anything else you want to talk about?
I don't think so. Do you
That's
think
all
you've
right.
got enough?
Yeah, definitely. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great.
Glad to help.
Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.